For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
So we already have a Twitter message and, of course, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, saying, bleep, I hope we get a Godfather offer for two. Now, you guys know the Open brought to you by Guardians TV, but Pete Schrager went on First Take today and said that the Browns and Giants are taking calls on the number two and three pick, and specifically at the two pick, that teams are calling about Ashton Jeanty, Abdul Carter, and Travis Hunter, and that the Browns are not hanging up the phone, that they could be bought with a Godfather-type offer.
So the Browns obviously they are the kings of doing their due diligence. I don't think they've ever gotten a phone call where it hasn't been leaked out, that they got a phone call on it, and they obviously took the phone call.
Like they famously said, we're not taking phone calls on Myles Garrett. We got them, but we're not taking them.
And they let everyone know. Yeah. Like it's just how they do business. I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen a team be more invested in letting everyone know the amount of phone calls they get on certain topics and certain subjects. They get more phone calls than we do on the topic. My goodness.
So I was expecting at some point for this kind of report, and there are a few reports like this today, to come out, because for weeks everyone said everyone's trying to move out of the top 10, not trying to move up.
Well, it's also been weird too, Nick, in the idea that we have not seen a single trade in the first round yet.
Yes.
And that we've not gotten in the common football era, we haven't had that happen.
And I can't remember who else reported this, because every day it's a news dump of 17 different reports.
Yeah.
But somebody today reported that the trade calls are starting to pick up right now.
Matt Miller.
Never doubted it. I knew it was Matt Miller. I was just giving you the opportunity to pick up there on your birthday. I certainly didn't forget it. But I have to say this, and I have to do. I'm the only guy on the station who's going to say the thing that nobody wants to hear. It is in line with everything I've been saying for 4 months, and I'm just building this all up to make me sound really important. The Browns should trade down. If the Browns, I don't even think it needs a Godfather type offer. If the Browns get some sort of quality for the number two pick, they should absolutely trade down, because this is more than a Diet Coke fix. You need picks next year as much as you need more picks this year. And honestly, I think you can trade down anywhere from 6 to 15 and still get a quality day one starter type player. And I think that's, as much as I'd love a superstar-type player in Travis Hunter or a superstar-type player at an edge rusher spot in Abdul Carter, the reality is you don't need a thing. You need everything. This is where they need to go. They need to trade down if they get even a significant offer.
Okay, I do wonder how much of this would change if you had a different perception of Travis Hunter, though. Like, for instance, I mean, top three wide receivers in NFL history, there's some good names attached to that, right? Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson. If it's one of those type guys instead of what we see Travis Hunter, who many people believe would be the fifth best wide receiver if they were taken in last year's draft, would you feel differently?
Okay, maybe if it was Marvin Harrison Jr., because we watched Marvin play the way he did at Ohio State. I'm sure some of this is also the Colorado thing. Like, cool, you beat up on a bunch of Big 12 teams. Great job. Excellent job.
I don't know. Does that carry over for wide receivers as well? We've erased that with quarterbacks because Patrick Mahomes came from the Big 12. Josh Allen played at Wyoming. Like, we've gotten rid of that idea.
I mean,
when it comes to quarterbacks,
I'd still like a quarterback that goes to Ohio State and dunks on everybody as opposed to Texas Tech.
I think so too. I honestly hadn't
like
given
Joe
much consideration.
Joe Burrow went to LSU, did pretty darn good.
Malik Nabers goes to LSU. Everyone just goes to LSU. That's the main point, right? Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Malik Nabers, they all just go to LSU.
But I desperately hope somebody is desperately trying to get into the top two because I think I said something similar, but I have to go on the record. The number one thing in this draft, if you are the Browns, where you are, and there's not a quarterback you need to take with a top two pick, then if somebody gives you a future first rounder and another day two pick this year, pull the trigger and don't think twice about it. Set yourself up for success next year if you're not going to truly dabble in high-class quarterback this year.
I think for myself, it's if you're not taking quarterback and you're talking wide receiver and Travis Hunter or even Abdul Carter, I just look at the possibilities in future drafts as much better, more appealing to me.
I also, like, guys, Luther Burden, for some godforsaken reason, is thought that he might be there at 33. If we're just talking about purely wide receiver, I think Luther Burden could be the yin to Jerry Jeudy's yang here and might actually be a better rookie than Travis Hunter because I think Travis has some developing to do as a wide receiver. So, like, that's the other thing playing here is it's like maybe part of this is just the fact that, it'd be nice if you could get a player that's great at one thing instead of good at two things.
Yeah, I wonder how much ego is going to come into play here in regards to Andrew Berry. Because, like, Andrew Berry, if you trade back down, you are playing the longer game. And that's a dangerous game to play anyway. But, like, part of the reason why I think Ashton Jeanty has such a high draft stock and just people love him, even though there's so many good running backs you can take in the second round, is that people believe he's going to be a Hall of Famer one day.
Yeah.
And there is the ego attached to GMs being like, I drafted that Hall of Famer, is a very real thing in the NFL.
The Jeanty thing just continues. I think he's a really great kid, and I really like watching him play football. I'm an anti-Gentite.
Like, we've established anti-Gentite.
This draft, if you trade up to two to take Ashton Jeanty, you're just stupid.
But we need that. We need teams thinking that way. Maybe it's the Raiders. We talked about the connection there with Pete Carroll before and running backs and Reggie Bush at USC and Marshawn Lynch in Seattle. He's always had a premier running back. It's part of his identity. And maybe Jeanty's that guy for him.
But I in this draft specifically, and I don't know definitively Omarion Hampton will be better than Ashton Jeanty, right? I don't know any of the second or third round definitively will be. There's a reason Ashton will be taken likely with a top five, top six pick. At the same point, why would you do it? If you knew you could get a starting running back, an impact type running back,
sure,
as deep as middle of the fourth round.
Because I think there is something to the idea that GMs want to be able to draft somebody that eventually goes to Canton.
It's the Saquon Barkley bump.
That's a big gold star for them.
Everybody's looking at and said, well, Saquon Barkley, which, by the way, is the most grossest overstatement ever. Saquon Barkley was a huge part of what they did in Philadelphia. They don't win a Super Bowl if they don't have Jalen Hurts. I don't know Saquon.
Or one of the best offensive lines and premier wide receivers.
And, oh yeah, I was going to say A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, also pretty good. Oh, their defense.
They just had a really great team.
Their defense was really good as well. Like, I'm all here for the glow up on the running back. But if somebody wants to come up and take Ashton Jeanty, by all means.
Okay, but doesn't this make more sense that they were speaking so glowingly about Travis Hunter if they were, in fact, trying to get somebody to trade up, to make the move up, to go ahead and feel like, well, we're losing him. We're losing Travis Hunter. We love him. And the Browns speak the same way they spoke highly of Shador when they thought Shador was in high demand at two. Same way they spoke highly of Abdul Carter for that month stretch when people thought Abdul Carter was a lock for two. They've gone through this cycle. They're just trying to bait teams, it feels like.
And that way you can look the same at Travis Hunter as you can with Jalen Milroe, who are the two players that almost every mock draft has them taking. It's Travis Hunter and Jalen Milroe. Who are the two players that they've talked the most about? It's those two guys. What does recent history with Andrew Berry tell you? If they've talked that much about him, they're probably not that invested in going and actually getting them.
It's just not how they typically operate. And I'm open to the idea that they're just treating this way differently than they ever have. But it does, Nick. It makes a lot more sense to me that they would be talking up Travis Hunter, trying to bait some of these phone calls and trying to get a hole.
So we got quick hits coming up at 2:40. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst at 3:20. Thomas Dimitroff, Barberton alum.
Thinking about the Barberton chicken again.
Give me some of that Milicic's. From Sumer Sports. I went right from there. Albert Breer at 5:20 today. A absolutely loaded show with a couple days to the NFL draft. But I think I'm here to say trade down is the best option. Then we can haggle over Hunter versus Carter, which is still a very real conversation as much as everybody wants to dismiss that. And then beyond that, I don't really care what happens because those are the three options at two, but I'm officially putting trade down as the best thing to happen. And one team, mentioned a lot about Ashton Jeanty, well, one team in the top 10 reportedly loves Travis Hunter, but who could it be and how motivated could they be to get him? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. If you combine what Pete Schrager had to say today on First Take,
yeah,
and then combine it with the James Palmer tweet today that he knows of one team in the top 10 that loves Travis Hunter, I think you can kind of go of, I can sell you a different team for each player. Like Chicago, yeah, with Ashton Jeanty. That could be the finishing piece that allows you to move from 10 to 2. You've had three first rounders in the last 2 years, so if you give up a future first, it's not going to kill you. Your roster is in kind of the right, you're headed towards the right spot roster build wise. Jeanty makes a lot of sense.
And Jenty's the type of guy that it's going to be a win of a pick. Like you're, yes, going to have, there's not much doubt there. Ryan Poles desperately needs a win of a pick.
Now, then you go to Travis Hunter. I mean, I think Carolina, who could either use an elite cornerback in Evero's system, or, I mean, you got Bryce Young and you are desperately in need. Like Adam Thielen is still one of their two best wide receivers.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter as a potential number one wide receiver would make a lot of sense for that team trying to move up, even though I think they're thinking defense other than that.
Well, but that's why he'd also make sense for Jacksonville to, mm-hmm, pair with Trevor Lawrence. He makes sense for the Patriots with Drake May. Like there's a lot of places that could use a guy like Travis Hunter.
And I think for Abdul Carter, it's probably the Patriots. I think the Patriots have been comfortable of, we're going to let you slide, well, one of the two players to slide to us.
Patriots are kind of in that spot that the Bengals were a few years ago when they drafted Joe Burrow. It's like, we got our quarterback, yep, now. Now we need to round out the rest of the team.
So whether that's Hunter as a wide receiver or Carter, that's an elite level player that I could see them going up for. And I think this proves something that I've been saying. 99 times out of 100 in the draft, position players aren't the thing that teams move up for. What I think makes it different and why I think it's so specific and so important that Schrager calls out those three players, those are the three franchise players in this draft. Like, people debate about Mason Graham. People debate about Will Campbell. People debate about a couple other kids there, the Georgia edge rushers.
I'm just happy you put Jeanty in there.
The three non-negotiable, these guys are going to be the franchise players. It is Jeanty, it is Hunter, it is
Carter. I agree 100%. I'm just happy you put him in there. I feel like every time we do this conversation, people are like, oh, the two blue chippers, nope, and they just leave Jeanty aside. Now, positionally, he doesn't give you as much value. That's clear and obvious. He is just a running back. But if you talk about the actual overall talent and ability, it's right up there with everything that Carter and Hunter can do.
So I'm going on record here and saying, all right, guys, I'm team trade down first. And we did have, I want to say it was Jason, maybe I'm wrong here because we've got a few replies here. No, it was Eric saying, what happens if Tennessee doesn't take Ward? I would be shocked upon shocked if, yeah, they took somebody else at one.
And they, by the way, just minutes ago said and cemented the idea that they are staying at number one and they're not, yeah, trading out of that. So they publicly said that. And they're not going to tell you right now, Cam Ward, because it's still a TV product.
Yep.
And the NFL gets real mad when you do that early.
And so, and Tennessee and Cleveland are two teams that want to play nice with the league because their, yeah, ownerships are not maybe beloved by the league.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shocked. Now, If Ward comes to two, that becomes a different conversation. But no, it's trade down, and then it's a real debate between Hunter and Carter. And I think I have officially reached the point where I'm annoyed at the dialogue around Travis Hunter.
So what's annoying you about the dialogue?
Just the fact that I've heard one too many people say he's a unicorn and that's why you have to take him.
See, the Ohtani thing is what made me mad.
Now, but I think it's right in the same line.
It's unfair that it's what made me mad, but it made me mad. Now, the unicorn side of things, though, is it because you don't think he's as talented as a wide receiver and as a cornerback to be given that distinction?
I think people right now are saying, I want him to be good at two spots, and I don't know he can be great at two spots. So basically, you're making a choice of either we let him be good, really good, whatever, at two spots, and maybe still harm some of his ceiling there, or you make him specialize on one side of the ball and live up to it. I think so much of the rub with Travis is that he's a two-way player. And I think this could end up being a conversation. You get 5 months into the season, he gets hurt once, and the team goes, all right, he's coming back as a wide receiver, and that's it. It's going to take one injury
and
scare.
And then John Taffer, you just shut him down.
To take the specialness. Oh, so by the way,
I think Travis
he's also
Hunter,
not going to do it.
Travis Hunter's done a lot of work ahead of time to make sure that people don't believe that. The comments he made last week, obviously, and then I don't know if you saw yesterday or not, but I guess his camp put out there that they're making Roger Goodell call him a cornerback and a wide receiver when he gets announced at the podium. They're like, they're adamant. They're like, don't say cornerback, don't say wide receiver. You're saying wide receiver and cornerback, Colorado, Travis Hunter. Like he is doing his damnedest to make sure that everyone knows he is playing both sides of the ball, and he's not siding on this. Once you get me in camp, I'm doing one.
And here's now I have no problem with Travis Hunter thinking that way. No problem at all.
You just don't think it's going to work that way?
No, I just don't think it is. At some point, you have to be realistic. If he was 225 pounds, or sorry, 215 pounds at a wide receiver in a corner, okay, all right, maybe. But this idea, even like I floated last week, and now I feel like I see it everywhere. All right, maybe he's a wide receiver, and then you put him more as like a center fielder or like a free safety.
Yeah.
So basically, his job is see ball, get ball,
which
and
is
see if you turn him into a turnover specialist.
Would make a lot of sense. It just makes a lot of sense, and I've seen that a lot of places as
but
well.
But even then, like, guys, if he's good at two spots, teams will value that more than being great at one spot. You won't. If he's just good, he's not worth the number two pick no matter how many snaps he plays in a game.
Well, and so that's
like
kind of
the whole point of the number two pick is he has to be a transcending player.
So I'm glad you said that because part of what makes me angry a little bit on the Travis Hunter discussion is the idea that when we were talking about Shador at number two, it was he has to be a top five quarterback in the league. He's got to be this, right? Yep. He's got to make all these Pro Bowls. He's got to take that team to a next level. When we talk about Travis Hunter, people act as if like it comes close to sniffing the Pro Bowl as if that's okay for the number two overall pick. And like, shouldn't we have, if you're going to put that on Shador, don't you have to also put that on Travis Hunter?
Yes. And so it's so interesting. Like, I guess maybe what I'm tired of with the Travis Hunter thing is that because he could end up being a good player at two spots instead of a great player at one, people are using the justification of a guy at a more important position. I don't give a damn how much has changed, right? Elite pass rusher is still more valuable to me as a team builder than an elite wide receiver, even if that's what Travis is. But so I want, like the 12th best wide receiver and like the 15th best cornerback over a guy who could be the 10th best edge rusher.
That's what's different, right? A couple weeks ago when I don't remember who it was, they were like, he's Justin Jefferson offensively. And it's like, well, if he's Justin Jefferson, then you sign up immediately to take him at number two. It's not even a debate. You take, if he's going to be the best, or let's even say top five at his position for a wide receiver, you don't even debate that. But you had 12th right there. I'm not signing up for the 12th best wide receiver.
And I just, I think this is another way of talking about relevance. We want to see something cool. We want to see something that hasn't been done before. And then you wrap in, you bake in the Ohtani comps. And all of a sudden, wow, man, he could be talked about every week on SportsCenter.
Man, Ohtani's ruining this kid.
Because he plays both ways.
Ohtani's a three-time league MVP.
And listen,
like, the expectations are so high. He doesn't even have a fair shake of it if he latches onto that.
And the other thing is, the kid is a highlight machine. So he might not be a consistently great player, but he's going to make a lot of plays that get everybody excited about it. And yet, I think people are using the idea of, oh, everybody's talking about this and how cool this is, in lieu of, Is he going to be an elite franchise-changing player in 2 years, 3 years, if he is merely a good wide receiver and a good corner, which I don't think he can be great at both. So you either have to choose of being great at one or good at both, and if he chooses to be good at both, okay, he's not going to be worth the relevance that I think everybody wants.
Well, and especially if we're talking in a trade-up situation for another team, what does that look like? Is that a first-rounder, and then obviously the first-rounder that's in play for a swap, and then another first and a second, another first, another two firsts? Like, the haul could be massive at this point, especially when everyone's dialed
hype.
In. Well, and everyone's dialed in on the idea that you really have three guys that are in play, and there's just not enough selections.
So I think, maybe to put a bow on this, I think my biggest frustration is I just don't think the conversations about Hunter versus Carter are genuine conversations. You're putting this kid on a pedestal of what you think he can be, and we keep using the term
unicorn. What's
interesting,
though, is that we haven't done that with Carter in many ways. Even though sometimes he gets comped out to Micah Parsons, take that for whatever that's worth.
They just played at the same school, guys.
If you're taking an edge at number two, though, shouldn't you have maybe not even Myles Garrett expectations, but you're going at number two? Like, these are franchise-altering players.
Yes, he should be. Nobody's going to be Myles. That's fine. Should he be capable of getting 10 to 12 to 14 sacks a year on his own? Yes.
I mean, these are multiple all pros.
And I'm much more comfortable saying Abdul Carter, in his only his second year as defensive end in the wide nine, has a chance of doing that earlier in his career than a guy who's never specialized as either a corner or a wide receiver. I just think the hype with Travis is almost getting to the point where, and he's playing into it with the I want to play both ways, and Rodgers going to.
And he is wildly athletic. We do have to give him some credit. I don't want to just bash Travis Hunter for a segment because I do like a lot of what he brings to the table.
I don't hate him, but let's just.
But do you love him at a number two overall pick?
The only way I'm going to love him is if he walks in as a wide receiver and he is Justin Jefferson. If he walks in and he's T. Higgins, yeah, I don't love it.
Yeah.
No disrespect to T. Higgins. One dude's a number one receiver. Would he be the number one receiver here? Yes. That's not the bar with the number two pick.
Right.
Feels like we really cleared some stuff up there. That felt good.
Well, it felt good for us. I don't know. I don't know that everyone else really is in love with what we had to say for 15 minutes, but we cleared it up for ourselves.
Pretty much accused everybody of groupthink, so love y'all.
It's going to be real awkward when they take Travis Hunter now on Thursday, and then on Friday we turn around and, hey, he's one of the most athletic players on any field that he's on ever.
I've been saying for a while that this was the pick.
They are true. I think we just both got excited at the prospect of a lot of teams being interested in a trade up at number two, and it feels very Browns right now. The way that they've marketed all of these discussions, it feels like this would be the big setup. This is what they want.
And again, be excited about Travis Hunter, but don't be excited because of some gimmick that might not factor that much into his career. And even if it does, it's probably going to shorten his career quite a bit. Quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
Angel.
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's Quick Hits.
Well, when you got to go, you got to go, JP. As evidence in Shaq getting up mid-segment during Inside the NBA and doing the old duck walk.
You all right, big fella?
Yeah, you know, catching a cramp?
Go ahead. Keep talking, Jeff.
Yeah, we on TV.
I know what we're doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's that olive oil you've been drinking.
I know.
Hey, take some matches with you.
Hey, listen, he couldn't hold it.
After
40, you can't hold it.
That's a first.
Shaq is doing there's a clear clench going on if you watch the video. If you were Shaq, do you care about people knowing you might have just messed yourself on TV?
You can't have a Paul Pierce moment, right?
Well, no, so thankfully, oh my God, that would just be too much. I don't know if Shaqaroni would recover from that.
Shaqaroni, love it. Weigh the pros and the cons here. Right? Like, you get up, it's TV.
Yeah.
No one ever gets up and just leaves TV. Yeah.
And there's no way they won't address it.
But you also can't just kind of let it happen.
I think he might have done both. I think it might have started to happen, and then he went to go salvage the situation. If it starts to happen, Do you just have to wait till the break?
Listen, I don't want to jinx myself for later on in life. I don't have any of these issues ever, and I know I'm gonna end up regretting those words. Everyone's got these stories of them not being able to hold one or not trusting a fart or something like that. You know, I have none of those stories. I don't have a single one of those stories.
I love the idea of afternoon drive in 20 years with you and me, and it's brought to you by Depends. Like,
why not?
We're going to become like NASCAR drivers, or it's like none of us can hold it for 5 hours.
Why not?
Just let it happen.
You had a break once. You didn't come back because you were still in the toilet.
That's true. That is true. That was skinnier Nick Wilson, too. See? Then I had to fatten up so that wouldn't happen again.
I appreciate that.
You're all welcome.
Yeah. Omaha! Doing the Lord's work there. Pistons got their first playoff win since 2008. Tibbs, after the game, said the huge free throw discrepancy in game two was the reason why. 34-19 there. It's just... Stop complaining, Tibbs. You lost the game.
Listen,
Detroit's been the better team for 7 out of the 8 quarters in the series so far.
New York teams never, and I mean never, get favorable calls. So Tibbs, I mean, he's
saw your Yankees tweet last night.
Oh, man. We're talking about a perfect strike right down the middle of the plate.
That was weird. It was weird.
For strike three, and Aaron Boone wanted to fight the ump.
Aaron Boone acted like it was 12 feet over the plate. It was weird.
I mean, has anybody become more punchable in the pantheon of baseball than Aaron Boone? I digress. Yeah, Tibbs. You know what it is? Tibbs knows he's cooked. If the Knicks do not make it to the Eastern Conference Finals this year,
it's been a disastrous season.
He's going to get thrown over the side of the boat. And he should, by the way. Stop playing guys 50 minutes.
After they traded for Bridges and it didn't work out this way. How about Cat last night? Cat absolutely stunk up the joint. It was just an awful game.
I can't figure out.
Cade Cunningham legitimately might be better than Jalen Brunson now, too.
I can't figure out Karl Anthony Towns. Because there are just moments where it's like, you are the best big in the NBA.
But he's the self-proclaimed best shooting big in the NBA.
And then
he took 2 3-pointers last night.
The times where he just disappeared. He plays like a wuss.
Yeah.
And honestly, they killed the culture that they had. And we kind of wonder if this is going to happen. Because they were the team of physicality. The team of, we're just going to outgrit you. And then the name of getting more skill ripped the heart. And it's like, it's DiVincenzo and Julius Randle. How is that the heart and soul of a team that still has Josh Hart, literally, Jalen Brunson, that still has Mikal Bridges? Like,
we got a series now. Again, Detroit's outplayed him 7 out of the 8 quarters I've watched these games.
Setting up a potential Eastern Conference Finals, Pistons versus Cavs. You heard it here first.
JB Bickerstaff.
By the way, if Boston goes from Orlando to Detroit... I am calling this an easier path.
Is it weaker than last year?
It is weaker than last year, even those teams in full health. Mel Kiper was on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday, and Dan let Mel know of a campaign he's planning.
I think you should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I appreciate that, Dan. I just believe there's so many people that just, you're fortunate, you get a little luck on your side, you're around great people. I was, Dan. I worked with you all those years.
You changed an industry. What you have meant to the NFL, it's a different version of John Facenda. That is contributions to the game. I know you're modest. I don't care. I'm going forward with it. You deserve to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
One, Mel Kiper is definitely not modest. We love Mel here. He is the GOAT. He told a story about how his like favorite draft interaction was one where he got Eddie George and Marvin Harrison mocked to the Rams, and then they went with Lawrence Phillips and Eddie Kinnison, and the coach was nice. He didn't call him out for being right.
Maybe Mel Kiper's hairspray got it right.
But that being said, does Kiper deserve to go into the Hall of Fame as a contributor?
Yes.
I've really struggled with this one.
He's made the draft what the draft is today.
I think TV made the draft what the draft is.
No, but I don't think there was another person that, let's say, ESPN could have hired and said, you're our draft guy and you have to be the draft guy, that then would be Mel Kiper today if you got to play out the same exact role.
I mean...
Like, Mel Kiper, he was the perfect cartoon character for a cartoon event that is the NFL draft.
Couldn't you just have hired a former NFL GM?
Wouldn't have worked, though. It wouldn't have worked because you needed somebody that was as audacious as he was, that was as confident as he was, that was everything that he was, and willing to make jokes about himself. Like, an NFL GM never would have taken the Jimmy Clausen miss the same way that Mel Kiper did.
Yeah, okay. We also haven't seen that Mel Kiper in 30 years. So maybe I'm just used to the watered-down one that thinks every pick is great.
He's spent at this point because he's raised up a whole generation.
Even the hair.
He's raised a whole generation of draft guys that have wanted to be him and have now surpassed him and become better than him. But when he had his fastball, I mean, that was 99 in the corner.
1995? Omaha!
He deserves to be in. He's made the draft an event. Per sources, Kirk Cousins present today for the start of the Falcons' voluntary offseason workouts. Cousins could still end up traded, obviously, but discussions between him and the Falcons, according to Dan Graziano, remain cordial. Are you surprised that Kirk Cousins actually showed up?
No, because he's going to make his money no matter what.
It's voluntary. You don't have to be at this part of it. If they were truly mad at each other, why would you show up to this?
Because he's vanilla. Because he's the most milquetoast dude in the world. Like, he is the firstborn son that even at his most disgruntled is going to play by the rules.
I mean, this is like your wife asking for a divorce and then you being like, let me still make you dinner tonight.
Yep.
Like they're in an extreme argument. They're heated at each other. They're mad at each other.
Could you use a back rub?
And he's showing, showing up for voluntary workouts.
The difference in that, you lose half your stuff. In this case, Kirk still gets $30 million guaranteed.
If I can overshare for a second, the night that because my parents got divorced, I was 15 years old. I'll never forget my dad sitting down at the dinner table and then like complimenting my mom on her dinner that night.
Yeah.
And being like, this is very good. And I was like, that takes a lot, man.
Yeah.
that takes a lot.
So it wasn't followed by like, your mom's a B, but this is really, but this roast.
I think he thought maybe he still had a chance. I'm not sure. I was very impressed.
If you had made this roast 3 months ago, we would be...
Well, I was like, Dad, maybe a compliment a couple weeks ago would have gone a long way. Maybe don't compliment the dinner tonight. Maybe a couple weeks ago.
This roast is awesome. It really brings out the hatred in your eyes, hon. Omaha! All right, we have not talked about this yet. Trevor Stephan to the 60-man IL. Lane Thomas to the 10-day IL. And Juan Brito, not up. Any of the other guys that they have, Khalil Watson, not up. Will Wilson, whom, may you ask? That would be the Guardians 2024 AAA, not even Major League, Rule 5 draft. AAA, Rule 5 draft, he's hitting .324 in Columbus. He's 26. And he's now on the 40-man roster. He's now on the big league roster, too.
Are you rooting for him to make it to the big league so you can buy a Wilson Guardians jersey?
No. Again, fat guys in jerseys, it's a rough...
It was more same last name.
Yeah, I don't care. No, but you know, fat guys in baseball jerseys
Does it bother you that you have such a popular last name? Like, when you think Russell Wilson, does it even cross your mind that he has the same last name as you, or do you just let it go?
No, but I do try and tell everybody, like, oh, yeah, Uncle Russ. Yeah.
You talking about a cook?
Yeah. Any Wilson. I'm just like, yeah.
Well, maybe Will Wilson can be your long-lost nephew.
Except he's going to hit about 175. I mean, he's the middle infield version of Will Brennan. Like, there's a kid whose career batting average coming into this season was .236. And because he hit .324 at AAA in 18 games.
Well, hold on now.
He jumped
wasn't
to the big league roster.
Wasn't 19 at-bats enough for Manzardo to be a great player and trending upwards?
I believe it was 19 plus 60 at-bats in the regular season at the end of last season, plus another 19 at-bats, and then the one at-bat, or the four at-bats opening day.
That was a lot of at-bats.
I didn't. I kind of Steiner math that one, but the point was, different sample size altogether.
Yeah, I got to laugh out of Mac.
That's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, the latest on the Guardians and a potential controversy is a-brewing. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.